on in. It's only going to be a couple minutes, I promise, and you can go back outside in the cool air. See, I have 2 more hours, and then my really big part of this is over, so I'm really looking forward to it. Jim Diller, the beer is cool, right? Okay. Hello, everyone. Just in case you don't know who I am, my name is Jennifer Ashpool. I'm also known as Bubbles the Terrible, or as Tom Lyon has put me, I'm Chief Witch. Welcome to the Old Rocketeer Reunion. I'm glad everybody could come. There's 300 of your best, closest rocket friends here. I hope you've been enjoying it. I know Duffy's been over here doing video. My husband and Matt's been doing pictures back there. But we only wanted to say a few words, and the first person to say some words besides me is Mark Bundick, the current NAR president. Mark, that's why we switch.
Thank you, Jennifer. First of all, okay, first comment. For the past 14 years, Trip Barber has said he is the man most interested in my continued health and well-being. He said if I talk too long tonight, he's going to kill me. He's been professionally trained in that science. I will not be long. First of all, thank you all for being here. You honor the NAR and our history by your presence here, simply by coming. Second, I'd like again to thank John Lankford for opening his facility for us to have this party. And for a bunch of people who are interested in rockets, we are especially graced with the presence of not one, but 2 American astronauts here tonight. Our good friend and colleague and longtime NAR member, Jay Apt. And a brave man, Walt Cunningham, who flew the first mission of an Apollo spacecraft after a tragic and terrible accident. Thank you both for your service to us and your country. It is impossible for me to express my pride and appreciation of being able to deliver these remarks to you tonight. And I cannot possibly encapsulate the history of the NAR in 3 minutes. But think about these things. Look at the body of work you have done. 50 years ago, there were a handful of rocket engines. NAR members made it possible for there to be 500-plus engines on the NAR certified list. Safe, reliable, delivered to standards engines. NAR members made that possible. NAR members figured out how to make stable rockets, to make sure they fly safe and understand the scientific principles to make that happen. And then they made it better by telling you how to make them stable enough with the minimum amount of fin area. That is the result of NAR members. NAR members figured out how to figure out how high your rocket went, and then they wrote computer software to tell you to estimate in advance of the flight how high your rocket was going to go. Every simulation program we use 50 years from now is based on that original work by an NAR member. NAR members invented boost glide. NAR members invented egg loft. NAR members gave this hobby radio-controlled rocket gliders. All of this and more, that is the body of technical work that you've done. The other thing you've done, and the other thing that I'm most proud about, even with that body of technical work, is what this organization stands for. Every scientific, technical study done on the safety of this hobby was commissioned by the NAR, led by an NAR member, and staffed by NAR members. And when I go to an NFPA meeting, and a 20-plus year veteran of the NFPA Committee on Pyrotechnics looks at me after a presentation by 4 NAR members and says, That is the most professional presentation I have ever seen at an NFPA committee anywhere. That's the reputation you have. When I come to TARC, an aerospace executive say to me, we cannot run rocket ranges like you do. When they say to me, we can't reach these kids the way you do, that's what the NAR stands for. 50 years of that. What's the potential of this organization? I don't know because my crystal ball is cloudy, but let me tell you a story. Any first-time NARAM attendees here? 37 years ago, I was in your place. I was at NARAM 13. My father drove me to Aberdeen, Maryland. He dropped me off. I had to bum a ride to the field every day. On Friday, the scale event and the super scale event, I bummed a ride with a young man in the parking lot. He had a beautiful Mercury Redstone scale model, far better than the one I had left at home, and far better than I would ever and can ever build. He flew that rocket. He gave me that ride. He did not know, 37 years later, that he and I would be here. Because that young man was John Lankford. And the hangar you see here represents the potential of NAR members. And even after all of this, his education, his business acumen, his strategy, his planning, has made this company this, he returned to the NAR and leads our international modeling effort. That's the potential of each and every person who is here tonight. Our technical body of knowledge, what we stand for, and our potential. Those are the three things you need to think about for whatever amount of time you have left here. And when I look at those things, it makes me damn pleased and proud to say I am a member of the National Association of Rocketry. And now I'd like to ask Bill Stein to please offer us a few comments about, well, where his father has brought us.
All right. Well, I think the first thing is, hey, Bundick, 10 more years president. What do you say? Hello, everybody. What a day this has been. I said, what a day this has been. First of all of my mentors are here. Vern, Lee. Thank you all so much for, during the day today, all of your kind comments about my father. He touched everyone in this room in many unique ways. 50 years. Isn't it just amazing? Very few organizations ever make it to a 50th anniversary. The fact that the NAR is still here is an incredibly strong testament to its founding principles and its ability to adapt to cultural and technological advances. And even more amazing is that through the years, it's all been done by volunteers. Mark, Tripp, the current board, my hat goes off to you, man. And to every other past NAR president and board member, there's quite a few of you out there tonight. Again, thank you. We wouldn't be here today without all the volunteers. It's incredible. Isn't it amazing how G. Harry was able to infect all of us? Yeah, it's the right word. I thought about it long and hard. And infect also leads to, it's a disease. I can tell you in my case, it's in my blood. It's a disease. I can't get it out. I hope that each and every one of you has found his or her own way to honor Harry's call to pay forward. Let's do our best to make sure that we're here for a 100-year celebration of the NAR. Thank you. I kept my comments short because I know you really just want to hear from Vern.
Hi, everyone. You might be interested in my initial contact with Harry. It was a long, long time ago, 1958, and there's been a rumor out, don't know if it's true or not, that I'm writing a book, possibly. And so I'm going to read just a little bit from chapter one, and this is where I first get acquainted with Harry, and of course, I wouldn't have been involved in this hobby, so he's a real hero of mine. So, from chapter one, America was in a race to get into space. And nearly every adventurous kid in the country wanted to be part of that great adventure. Many of them tried, but failed when building their own backyard rockets. Over and over again, the headlines of the 1950s screamed the dangers of making rockets using common household chemicals loaded into pipes and other metal casings. Yet the urge to participate was so great that the soaring number of accidents did not act as a deterrent. The picture was grim. Then one day in the spring of 1958, a Mr. Stein called while you were at the lumberyard, my wife Glita told me, as I rushed into my small Denver construction office. Okay, I'll leave a note on my desk. I've got to get over to Cherry Street. That load of concrete will be there at 2 o'clock, and we've still got some forms to set. Call Andy and tell him to meet me there in 15 minutes. Did Stein say what he wanted? He said he wanted to talk to you about rockets. Well, he probably wanted to talk to my dad. He's the one in the fireworks business, not me. I don't have time. Just call him back and give him the number for Mile High Fireworks. Stein said he'd called Mile High and talked to your mother. She told him to talk to you. I'm not sure what he wants, but I think you should talk to him. That was my introduction to model rocketry. Here I was, 28 years old, trying to make a living with a small construction business, when a guy I never heard of called to tell me about his rockets. Oh well, I thought, I guess it won't hurt to call him. I hope his rockets work better than the ones our government is trying to launch. I didn't know it at the time, but Stein's call about model rocketry was the beginning of a major change in my life and career. I started my life as a farm boy in Missouri. My father was a farmer during the Great Depression. Then for a couple of years, around the time of World War II started, Dad sold Alice Chalmers tractors and equipment in Gallatin. When I was 13, we moved to a small farm just west of Fountain, Colorado, where the farm family raised turkeys. Then as a final paragraph to chapter one, when I finally talked to Harry, I found an excited man telling me about a small rocket invented by a shoe salesman from Nebraska by the name of Orville Carlisle. Harry told me about that Model Missiles, Inc., the company he had started to sell his rockets, was in urgent need of rocket motors to meet the demand of their customers. He wanted me to make those rocket motors for them. That was the challenge that led to the founding of Estes Industry and changes in my life that I could not have imagined. The next few months proved stressful, exciting, sleepless,
disastrous, fun, and oftentimes nearly impossible. But Harry's phone call had planted a tiny seed that was now ready to be nourished into life. And I have one other thing I want to share with you. Is there a Stephen Rosenstein in the audience here? Do any of you know him? All right. Well, I recently received an email from him. It says, "Where do I send the attach to get it cached? I hope my holding onto it did not complicate your bookkeeping too much."
I have one of those too. 15 cents, I think.
No. Then attached is this check from Estes Industries made out to North Shore section of the NAR, signed by person handling such things at Estes Industries, with June Harris, for $3.75. Now, I'd like to get that check back, but he apparently isn't. And I've thought of various ways I might respond, but perhaps I'll just ignore it. And just as a final thought, I want to mention just how much all of you have meant to me over the years. We've had a great trip together. It's great to be here at this 50th anniversary celebration, and I'm glad I've had a chance to visit with you and shake your hand and see what's happened in your life. And I want to wish all of you the best, and as you go out, bring others into the hobby, and thank you very much.
And now, a brief apology. Jim, I'm not trying to preempt your awards banquet, but I actually have a couple of special awards I'd like to present, particularly tonight. When I wrote the welcome letter for this event, I said, you know, a lot of things about the history of the NAR, and one of the things I said we were going to do, that you needed to do, was to stop and take a breath and try to take it all in and then go out and have a hell of a party. Parties like this don't just happen. They require a lot of planning and effort and cajoling and begging and pleading. And none of this on the OR would have been possible without a dedicated and loving volunteer, even though she may not show that all the time. And Jennifer, I cannot remember, and I've been going to a lot of NAR events, and I've had a hell of a lot of fun at them. I cannot remember when I've had this much fun. And I don't know how to thank you for the effort that you put in, but if you would, I would like you to accept, as a small token of our appreciation, this plaque on behalf of the NAR for your work in organizing an absolutely fabulous 50th OR. God bless you. The other award I'm going to break with Preston with tonight, and I'm going to make my last NAR President's Award. And given the nature of our occasion and the celebration here at NARM 50, it's only appropriate that it involve rocket history. Our history is fleeting. JAPS crewmate Jerry Ross said, "When you come back home from space, the only thing you can bring with you are your pictures." Somebody took it upon themselves to collect our pictures and our video and do a hell of a lot of hard work and put them all together and deliver them to you in a DVD.
Two DVDs.
And two DVDs, because we have so much of it. I
had the great privilege and honor of getting an advanced copy of it. And even though there are very many, 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 many embarrassing pictures of me on it, I was happy to receive it because it reminded me of how this hobby had changed the trajectory of my life, as I'm sure it's changed the trajectory of yours. And therefore, this year's NAR President Award goes to the man who put that DVD together for us and for all time, James Duffy. Contest director says he doesn't have any announcement, but I'll check with the chief witch before I do anything radical. Ah, there's cake.
It's a birthday party.
It's a birthday party. There has to be cake. Come on, right? Why don't we sing happy birthday, right?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, M-A-R. Happy birthday to you.
And then return to your individual celebrations. Thank you all.
Don't go away. There might be somebody
on the other end
of the phone.
You might want to talk to them.
Way
too much fun.
Never have too much fun.
Way too much fun.
Yeah.